Can you state your name for the audience? And if you could describe closure in one sentence as well, like how would you describe it?
My name's Tyler Glale, and the first game I made, the first commercial game I made was called Closure, and that is, it was a puzzle platformer where if you can't see something, it doesn't exist, and it's in total darkness, and you move around little orbs of light to basically create the world around yourself.
What inspired the birth of Closure?
Okay, well, first of all, I'll just point out, Closure came out in 2012. We started working on it in 2009.
On the Flash version?
We started the Flash version at the end of 2008 and released it in 2009, and then we started the full commercial version in early 2009. So it was a while ago that we actually started it. So there's memories a little bit fuzzy about how it got started and stuff, but I think it was I was just playing around with like a graphical effect in Flash because they just added the ability to do sort of shaders in Flash, which if people don't know, it's kind of like in most games, you'll know shaders because it like gives you depth of field, like blurring the camera or motion blur and stuff like that.
Right.
So you can do a lot of stuff with that, but Flash just added a sort of the ability to do that. So I was just playing around with it and experimenting with taking an image and converting it into just black and white, and found out that I could do a little interesting lighting effect with that. And then the game just sort of evolved from there.
The first person who was the developer on Switch and Shoot, his inspiration was, you know, it's similar, just playing around with the stuff. Because I'm a mathematician, sometimes I write proofs, and like in every proof there's like a little hint of ingenuity, a little bit of inspiration that you just can't really account for, and it's so weird to just see how it comes from these different forms. I had no idea it was a Flash game until I decided, you gave me the okay on the interview, and I did a little bit of research on it, and I saw it was a Flash game.
So originally.
So I played a little bit of it, and I was just wondering, how did the console version or the Steam version, the retail version in other words, how did that game grow from the Flash version?
Well, it was sort of like the Flash version of Closure was getting a pretty good amount of attention because 2009 was sort of like when indie games started becoming a thing again. I mean, I guess people are always gonna be like, oh, back in 2004 or whatever, there was this aspect of it, and back in 1986 and whatever, they were a thing, and they like come and go in waves, but like 2009 was sort of right after it was right after Braid and Castle Crashers came out on Xbox, and because I think those came out in 2008, like towards the end of 2008. But they started getting a lot of attention, and then, you know, there was another wave of indie game development that just started up at that point, and I was starting college around that time. Like, it started at the end of 2008, so I had a lot of time to just make games and stuff, and we're like, hey, we could just try making a big version of it, because everyone's making big versions of their games now, and, you know, there's a lot more we can do with this concept, and so we just started working on it.
So, just out of curiosity, was the other games, I think Believe Castle Crashers was like a Flash Newgrounds game. Was Braid also one?
Braid wasn't, and Castle Crashers wasn't either.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was Alien Hominid, which came before, was a Flash game. But Castle Crashers was just an Xbox 360 game.
Okay, it has that flashy feel to it. But,
anyway. I mean, it was animated Flash.
So. Yeah, oh, okay. Could put Closure in a genre, what genre would it be?
It's a puzzle platformer.
Okay.
All right. Pretty much it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Because in my mind, I was expecting you to choose like either puzzle or platformer. I didn't expect the puzzle platformer, but yeah. Because, I definitely look at it as a puzzle game. But yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely more of a puzzle game than a platformer. But yeah. That's what the genre is, puzzle platformer.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Which was your favorite puzzle in the game to create?
To create in Closure. I'm trying to remember all the puzzles since it's been a while since I played it. I really liked towards the end, there was a level in the circus, or I think it was officially called the carnival, but there's a level in the end of that where you could go left or right from the start, and you only needed to do the puzzles on one half of the screen to beat the level. But if you wanted to get the bonus moth, you had to do both of them. And doing both of the puzzles was way more complicated than doing either one individually. Mm. So it was sort of like those were the last levels that I was making while working on the game. It's like we did the first set was, we did the tutorial and then the factory and a little bit of the forest was like how we started it. And then we finished the factory first, and then we finished the forest, and then we finished the carnival and then the challenge at the end of it. Mm. So the carnival, like the end of that was like the last real work that I had done, and I had gotten a lot better at making levels at that point for the game. So a lot of the ones towards the end there are just very entertaining, fun levels with a lot of stuff going on in them.
When I need to test something out on my PC, Closure is the first game that I download and test to see if, just to see how things are running on a game such as that.
Yeah. Okay. It's so, probably not the best game to test that.
No.
But it still has some issues with various PCs.
Ah, really? Okay. I didn't think so. It ran flawlessly on everything I put it on. I usually don't have computers with high graphic configurations or anything, so. When I play Closure, it feels like when the programmers were programming that there must have been some gigantic hurdle you had to get over when you were like, I don't know what to call it, like maybe when you're building the engine that it's kind of like running on.
Yeah.
What is there anything you would like to mention about that?
Yeah, I did it wrong. It's so I don't know, like, are your students programmers or are they math students first and then like get into
programming? Right. I'm trying to get them into programming because that's where, you know, they're going to make the money. I teach in, I don't want to give my location away because I don't want my kids to find me online. Mm-hmm. But I'm in Queens, and it's mm-hmm. a primarily area in poverty. And, mm-hmm. you know, so I'm trying to just find ways that they could kind of push themselves in a direction that will, you know, lead them somewhere good in the future.
So I'm just trying to think how technical to word my answer here.
This podcast is not for them or anything. It's just like, you know, I was just kind of letting you know that I was doing those things too.
Okay, yeah. Well, there was a part of the Closure engine was all the collision on it. It was, you know, you can only see what's in the little bubble of light that you have. But there's also spotlights, which are kind of like, they're conical, but it's 2D, so it's just a triangle. And, you know, they cast shadows and stuff, so it's not just like a simple shape for the light. So it can't just be like, oh, you're colliding if you are in any of the light bubbles and colliding with where the ground is. Like, I couldn't do it that way just because testing if you're in, like, the spotlight, which has a blurry edge on it, is just kind of complicated. So what I came up with doing was I rendered the light to a texture, like a small 128 by 128 texture. And then I read that back from the graphics card so I could get like a bitmap that just had all the values of light for any individual pixel. And then I could look that up and see, is this is this point in the level in light or in darkness? And I would just get it instantly. But the problem was that I was taking data back from the graphics card, which is a lot slower than sending data to the graphics card. And so there was a lot of effort put into making that fast enough to keep the game running at 60 frames a second. And that ends up causing a whole bunch of compatibility issues on various graphics cards and stuff. So it wasn't the right way to do things, but it was by the time I realized it was a problem, it was too late to change any of it.
Well, it works.
But it works. Yeah.
Yeah. It's all that matters. It's pixel perfect then.
Sort of.
did you in any way like try to like help the player out by like giving them a few extra pixels or something like that where they could like step on, or is it like to the pixel? If
there's,
you can say pixels, I don't know.
It was, you know, you can move lights around a pixel at a time. So giving somebody an extra pixel like that, they'll just take advantage of it. So it's sort of, sometimes it depends on how the art's drawn. Cause I mean, there's parts of the art that are black. Like it doesn't get solid white in light, just the designs on the platform. So it's not completely accurate if there's like darker detail on the edge of the light, but it's accurate enough for what it is.
Can you tell us a little bit about your background in programming?
All right, I started programming when I was 11. Yeah, that was a while ago.
Yeah.
I had a copy of Flash 4, which I didn't have legally, but it was, you know, I borrowed it from one of my dad's friends, just had a copy, and, you know, you could install it on a bunch of computers and stuff. So we installed it, and then we were playing around, you know, you could animate in the old versions of Flash. It's pretty much what Flash was made for, was animating stuff. And it had some very basic scripting stuff. Like I figured out how you could take a button and when you click it plays an animation. So I had managed to make a game in Flash 4 that was basically entirely about clicking a button, but then the button was animated moving around. So there is a button moving around and you would click it and then it would go to the next animation where another button's moving around. And I had themed it as pigeon pooper. So you had a pigeon that followed the mouse, which was another thing you could do in Flash. You could just make something follow the mouse. Mm-hmm. So there's a pigeon and then all the little people would be buttons walking around and you would click on them to poop on them. And
it actually sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Wait,
I was 11, so.
You taught yourself how to do that? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to remember because we had a book about Flash back then, and I did take a little bit of stuff from that, but it was a bit, the actual programming stuff was a bit over my head at the time. But click a button and play an animation was pretty easy.
I see.
And then over the next, like, 2 years or so, I had found another tool, which I kind of forget the name of because it wasn't really a big thing or anything, but it let you define rules like on a grid. Like you'd be like, okay, there's like a two grid spaces and there's a player in one, and then that's like the start, and then the end is like the player is in the other grid space and the first one's empty, and then you would stick a condition there which was like pressing left. So then every time you press left, the character would basically move one grid space over, and you could define a whole bunch of rules and make some various games. And it was like, that was a really easy to comprehend. There wasn't a million things to memorize. You just like, oh, this, there's a start, there's an end, and then there's like a condition, and that was it. And then you could figure out kind of like a game, how to make that do what you wanted it to do. And I ran into the limitations of that pretty fast. There's only so much you can do and everything's locked to a grid.
Right.
But I had learned a couple of little programming concepts from that, like the condition is just like an if statement in programming, and you could you could store a value and increase it as a variable. And I was like, I wonder if Flash has all of this stuff too. And then I started looking into more of what Flash had available, and it did have all that stuff because it had a programming language built in.
And this was at age 11, you said, about?
This was between like 11 and 13.
Wow. If I could get my students to be that motivated to do something, I think, you know, I could definitely push them.
It's fun when you can just do a small bit of work and just see the effects of it immediately.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Did you go to school at all for programming after?
Yeah, I went to college for 2 years. I dropped out after 2 years, but that was, you know, because of closure. It was It had won an award, and I managed to find a way to get it funded to just turn it into an actual game. And it was like, okay, I think I've had enough school for now.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I'm not going to go encourage kids to drop out of school, because a lot of people take that same thing to mean like, oh, like a lot of people struggle and then try to drop out when they're struggling. I was like the exact opposite of that. I just wasn't being challenged enough.
That's exactly what it seems like. I could tell right now, if you're doing those things for yourself at age 11, age 13, you definitely wasn't being challenged. If you could give one tip to a new programmer or someone trying to get into the field, what would it be?
Well, there's a different tip for if you're trying to learn how to program or if you learn how to make games. I guess for both of those, it's just you have to be self-motivated.
You took the words right out of my mouth. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah. Like if you're trying to rely entirely on somebody else to tell you what to do, how to, like, you know, you should go make a game for practice or whatnot, like, and then you're like, okay, I'll go do the bare minimum or whatever. You're not really gonna get anywhere. You kind of have to have curiosity for it and be like, oh, I really want to learn how to do this so I can go make games. And all throughout middle school and high school for me, I was like constantly just trying to learn about various programming and you know, the math stuff related to programming to try and figure out how to make games. And there was a lot of math that was quite far ahead of where I was, like, in school. Like, I was, some of the early games I made, I'm like, oh, I want my character to face a certain direction. And I'm like, oh, I need trigonometry for that. What the hell is trigonometry? And I think I remember, like, asking a middle school math teacher about it. And they're like, oh, you'll learn that in like 2 years. And I'm like, I need it now. Like,
yeah.
I can't wait 2 years for that.
Are you working on any other games?
Yeah, a lot of them. I mean, I'm working on Bombernauts is the one that's almost done. That's in Steam Early Access.
It sounds so familiar because, you know, I'm always constantly looking up, you know, indie games. And is that the one where it's like you're in a sphere almost? The surface of a sphere?
No, that one's Ouroboros.
Oh, okay.
Bombernauts is a 3D multiplayer battle game.
Okay.
It's my first online multiplayer game. It's kind of like a Smash Bros. Bomberman Minecraft craziness. It's very fun.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's still in early access, but it's going to be done very soon. And then Ouroboros is the one that's in a circle.
Okay.
Which I'm working on with Edmund McMillan.
Oh, so that is also you guys. Okay.
Yeah. I'm working on that with him. Most people should know who he is. He made Super Meat Boy and Binding of Isaac.
Yes, of course. Yeah. No, you see, I don't know I saw the indie game movie. I've seen the person. I play the games. I just don't know the names. So both versions of Clojure that I got, And I probably have it on an Xbox, so I don't even know. But both versions of Closure that I got from like a bundle of some type, like maybe Humble Bundle or the PlayStation Network.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't want to be too nosy or picky, but like, what was that like successful for you? Or like, what did it work in your favor?
Mostly. Like, the way both of those work is you just sort of get a chunk of money and then people get your game. Like, instead of, like, a Humble Bundle, it depends on how much money people pay for it, but it kind of worked out to be about the same for all the bundles. But PlayStation was just to give you a chunk of money, and then your game goes free for a certain period of time.
I see.
And Closure wasn't a super popular game, so, I mean, we got paid according to, you know, how it was selling.
The demand or whatever.
Yeah, and, but the both of those combined was easily, you know, it did pretty well for us.
Good. Mm-hmm. Good. All right, well, I'm happy to hear that. And that's really the end of the questions that I had for you. I just want to thank you for giving me some of your time. I really, really appreciate it.
And you're welcome.
Yeah, that's it. If there's any last thing you would like to say, you could say it now.
All right. I think that about covers it.
Okay, then. Well, thank you so much again.
All right, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.